And a good 14th of September evening to you all, 2016. William Todd here. ICANN 2, Attitude Course, lesson number 6, week number 6, a product of the products. Very excited about this week's lesson. More importantly, more excited about last week's results. Let me first say that Mr. DiMuccio is in Mexico with Mr. Tanis and Mr. Kasuga. I saw on Facebook an auditorium full of what looked to be close to 800 to 1,000 people. So they are at a dinner party, and Michael has been excused for tonight. But I'm happy to report I have asked somebody to hit star 6 here, Miss Linda Morris, because Linda had sent some emails through this week that some strange and unique occurrences were taking place with her ICANN attitude. Linda, welcome to the call.
Thank you, William.
What happened? I got these texts, I got these emails, and you're acting like a ICANN graduate, like your results are happening. What's going on?
Well, the repetition and the positive ICANN attitude is working, and it's just prompted me to work on myself more. And, in fact, something I read earlier today that said if you actually slow down, you actually speed up your results.
Yes, it's true. So what would you, if you wouldn't mind just quickly sharing, you've been part of this. You went through ICANN 1, you're in ICANN 2. Why the penny dropping now? I mean, you know, yes, it's repetition, but it seemed to be like it's your calmness was almost like this was expected. I mean, it was like I was happy to receive the text and the emails and whatnot, but you were kind of like, yeah, well, this, you know, you can't continue to do these type of actions and not have results. So how do you feel about it? Like it wasn't one person, it was multiple people. You just think it's part of that repetition, law of attraction?
And saying yes to life. Actually, I have been told by a couple of different of my mentors to say yes to everything. Because you're not going to meet anybody at home at your own desk. So you have got to get out and meet people. So I was told as long as it's morally good and doesn't put yourself in danger, then say yes. So I've been very busy. And after NECAN, I started ballroom dance lessons. I took lessons for 6 years. But the past 12 years, I haven't taken lessons. And every time I go, they're like, oh, you're rusty. Oh, that's not right. You're going too fast. It's kind of stressful. Or they just say, oh, we haven't seen you forever. So it's not always the welcome wagon that you're looking for. So I actually ran into somebody that was one of the previous co-owners at the studio. And he said, why don't you come dancing to the open party Friday night? So I said, okay, I will. And I did. And as soon as I walked in the door, it was like a welcome wagon. Everybody was so happy to see me. And the owner came right up. He's like, Linda, you need to go talk to that woman in the blue shirt. She's having problems with this, and her husband has problems with that. And I'm, you know, and then later that night, he's like, I'm having problems with my elbow. And even though I kept being told to slow down and that wasn't right throughout the whole night, I kept wanting to leave. In fact, my terror barrier kept coming up, and I'm like, nope, just get back on the horse, just get back out there, keep doing it, even though it's uncomfortable and not much fun. And by the end of the evening, it was fun-er. And the owner, he asked, I set up a time to come back the next day, and after speaking with him and his wife, they decided they wanted to become consultants. And it was entertaining because I was sitting there with my show-and-tell bag, and he was taking the M-strides and the back flex to show to some of his other students and telling them how great it worked. And I wasn't having to do anything. So those efforts from 16 years ago were paying off.
Sounds like a treat others as you would like to be treated. Congratulations, Linda. And you know, it reminds me of a story about, you know, sitting at home and doing the social media and waiting for somebody to knock on the door. About 18 years ago, I was at a function overseas, and Dave Johnson used the quote, Confucius say, man wait on hillside with mouth open long time for roast duck to fly in.
And I think that kind of sums it up, that, you know, you just said, hey, look, I'm taking my I can attitude. I'm taking this positive vibration and I'm putting myself out there. And you know what? You can't help but be a magnet to all good that you deserve. So congratulations. Mr. Jeffrey, we're ready for we're ready for week six. Take her away.
I can't imagine her not being a magnificent dancer. Hi, everybody. This is lesson six. Welcome back to I Can Too Attitude Session 6. We are officially halfway through, and this really is where the rubber hits the road. This is where we demonstrate through the right habits a higher self, a more authentic self, one day at a time, because we're tapping into our true potential. That's right. You've always been much more than you've accepted. I saw a meme the other day, and it said it very well. It said, you are far too smart to be the only thing standing in your way. So let me start by saying thank you for the emails. Thank you for telling on yourself when you met resistance. And just to be perfectly clear, those texts, they're not about some powerful force opposing you or some really difficult sales situation. They're about self-sabotage. Now, the word sabotage came from France. According to a story many years ago, a sabot manufacturer, was grossly underpaying his staff and the working conditions were unbearable. So the workers rebel and they destroy the product they're making. These saboteurs did so much damage, according to this legend, that they put themselves out of work. So it's a bit repetitive for us to say self-sabotage, because it is by definition of the destruction of valuable assets, the destruction of the very things we need to prosper. Now you can be clear on who and what is in your way. As a Pogo, the comic strip possum, once said, we have met the enemy, and he is us. That's paramount. Thank goodness for principle. Precedent does not bind principle. Consistent and persistent applications of the principles we have discussed will overcome your inner sabotage. We don't do negative, even when we speak to ourselves. So why the struggle? Well, it's to do with our old ideas. This is the cornerstone of self-development. It's a concept that is so simple, so brilliant, so obvious that we don't see the power it holds. It's also obscured by our, quotation marks, common sense. Remember what Mark Twain said? It's what you believe that ain't true that will hurt you. We struggle to let these ideas go because we tend to think that some of these old ideas are good. But there's only one test of an idea. Does it bear good fruit? No? Then it's not a good idea. It's not a good habit. But as we learned last week, you won't think your way into right actions. You have to act your way into right thinking. So find a principle and work on it until it becomes habit. Your ego will hate it, but you will get unstuck. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. So if you're getting meaningful results, and I don't just mean financial gain, keep at it. Do more. Teach it. Be grateful for it. You know, we all talk more about this later in the week, but for now, let's get talking about your business you. A business requires loyal customers, which is why we acknowledge the need for auto ship orders. This is important foundational work. I know that it isn't talked about enough, so let me briefly say that auto ship also has a number of advantages for the company, your supply research and development company. With regular monthly ordering like auto ship, the company's inventory management becomes much more predictable, and our relationship of mutual interest and trust is reinforced. It might seem like it's not our problem, but imagine if you were managing a supply warehouse that could wildly fluctuate within any given month. What do you stock? You might even wonder if the field is putting its where the field is putting its emphasis when basic products are unpredictably up and down. It might even appear like the field doesn't care much about their problems, which begs the question, why should the company be excited about providing its incentives for the field? So the principle here is the same as our customer rule. We treat them as we'd like to be treated. And by the way, I have no insider knowledge of how the company's supply and warehousing works, but the principle is the same in every business. There is great strength in forming a consistent and predictable foundation like AutoShip. It's not your highest earning potential, but it is a way of showing that the lights are on and that you are open for business, that you care about your supplier. It also provides a vital link to customers who will appreciate excellent service, customers who will bring other customers, who will purchase durables from time to time, and the customers who keep us conscious of our little store and its promise of customer-centric services. This simple little energy cell is at the center of your business, and it's also a proof of concept. AutoShip customers are an asset that you can point to when you're asking someone to join your home-based business career path. You can explain that this small amount of cash flow in the beginning can generate a huge amount of monthly income when we take it down several levels. It is this leverage of a very basic fundamental part of any business that makes the networking business model so brilliant. This also goes to underscore the fourth principle from the 10,000 person survey, and it's about something you should see as your differentiation from other networks: product. The survey says, inspire me with an assortment of products that I didn't know about. I don't know whether you've consciously thought of this thought or not, but Nikan is like unlike any other networking business out there because you're not just marketing consumables. This is what makes it so difficult for people to apply the typical network marketing schemes here. You are part of something very unusual, and for that reason, you have become the picture child for the product principle, inspire me with an assortment of products that I didn't know about. In a run-of-the-mill network company, there are potions and lotions and drinks and other mundane offerings like diet aids or beverages. There is nothing of those categories that is so far out of the box that the customer could really say, I've never heard of such a thing. That is your advantage. And it's a big challenge, too. We must never assume, remember our earlier lessons, we must never assume that our potential customer really understands the things that we now accept and know to be true. Are you listening to really understand what a customer is saying when they say something like, you don't really expect me to believe that that works? Now, when you've forgotten about the novelty in this situation, you might get a little offended by that. You might have heard them say that they didn't believe you. Maybe you feel a bit insulted, like they just insinuated that you are lying. But if you subconsciously forgot that they are just ignorant of what these technologies would do, you might retract and become defensive. You may have forgotten that there was a time when you also felt skeptical. And even though you didn't blurt anything out, you might have wanted to say, like, are you kidding me? Let me get this straight. You stick a magnet in your shoe and your headache stopped. Yes. Or perhaps you're going to do the smug route and just give them the old, oh, well, trust me, look, and then assume they're satisfied. Now, I know we've said that we aren't aiming to become sales professionals, but we are working to become professional in that we show respect to anyone we contact. So here comes the professional part. It can be an act of will to just pause before we ask an unemotional question like, and remember, again, this is not a con man technique for getting your own way. It's a respectful habit we develop with our prospects, customers, and yes, even our family. We pause and find out if they really understood the question. So let's take an example in which a prospect has said, do you really expect me to believe that this works? I pause. Then I ask a question. Are you saying you don't believe it works? That's called active listening. I tell you what I thought I heard you say. You are going to be amazed if you're like me, because there's so many times that what they were really asking had nothing to do with what I thought I heard. It's an excellent skill to cultivate for your business and for everyday relationships. Let me give you a couple of examples of a possible reply to my question. Are you saying you don't believe it works? After I active listen to them, they may say, well, I don't mean I don't believe it works. I mean, wow, that's totally amazing. So here's an example of me misunderstanding what I heard. So now I say, well, let me demonstrate. Let me introduce you to, or let's watch this product demonstration. Or I know in the beginning I found it really hard to believe too. You get the picture. Or maybe they say this. Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. I don't believe it works. Okay, confirmed. I heard it right. This is not about me. This is about them. So I ask another question. Would it help you to see something that explains how it works? Or would it help if I share a personal experience with the product? Or let's try another demonstration to see if we can get results that will help you understand the power of this product. There's numerous paths to take, but you haven't ducked the question, and you are cheerfully helping them. There are, of course, many ways that this can play out, but let's always be clear that our opportunity to serve this customer must be principle-based. If we get angry, we lose. If I become indignant, I lose. If I ignore the question, I lose. Go to the guiding principle. How would you like to have a question answered? How would you like to be treated? The biggest advantage we have in any presentation is the fact that we are humans being more, not humans being perfect. If you honestly can't answer the question, it's perfectly acceptable to tell the person that you will research and get an answer. So be real, always. If you have a video or some other tool with you, use that. You may have to ask for time to properly answer the question. But again, they are having their objection dealt with, and that is customer-centric. You know, other times it just clicks. You're in the amaze the customer business. Nikan products are unusual and life-changing. Sounds great, right? But it also means that we have to use common sense. No one is comfortable drinking from a fire hose, which is what too much information too fast feels like. It's never good to overpromise or overdo a product. The results speak for themselves. We do not need to embellish or exaggerate when a product demo has gone well. Here's the next thing. Are you prepared for what's next? If you haven't had this thought yet, this is a good time to bring it up. What did you bring to demonstrate? Ask your upline what she or he uses. Ask other successful consultants. It's easy because you're not in the magic business. I could tell you and couldn't tell you the number of times I've watched as consultants try to blow the customer away with a demo, only have it to fail. An understated demonstration gives the customer a chance to be amazed, and sometimes they are blown away by something you didn't even consider important. This is just respect of the product and the customer. I always try to stay right-sized in a demonstration because they need me to be their agent, not a show-off, and certainly not a know-it-all. So, what is the key? You must listen to hear what they need. We deliver our opening and we make it a habit to listen for what would be of interest to them. We provide information about that. Many of us can be tempted to keep introducing more wonders and more stories and more data, but think about this. Have you ever been in a store that has everything on display? I mean, have you ever been in a store that has so many things for sale you can't find what you need? Well, you may be the only Nikan store these clients ever see. You are a 21st century store, a virtual store. Now imagine a store that you would enter, and much to your delight, it displays only what you would find interesting, and just a little bit more. It would be hard to get out of there without buying something, especially if they offered wonderful things that you didn't even know existed, things that gave you energy and made you feel well, the very things you didn't know you were looking for. This store can have amazing displays, too, but we must make certain that the display is done with respect and humility. Now, one final word on using an ABC. If you have someone with you, someone with product experience and maybe product knowledge, let them talk. Don't compete with them. Edify them. Let your customer know that you have a relationship of interest and trust with this person, and that's why you brought them along to explain something important. I know that you may find this hard to believe, but I have been on numerous presentations in which the B, the person who invited me to be their A, will talk over me, will interrupt me, and has even contradicted me. Now, there is a sure way to confuse a customer. Even if your B isn't saying what you think is right, still, be respectful. There's always something we don't understand. Maybe it's an angle that you haven't considered. Maybe they're going to do or say something that is just perfect for the customer because they're relating to the customer and not with you at that moment. In other words, don't keep interrupting. And the same goes for a video. It usually isn't a good idea to stop the video to inject an idea because it breaks concentration and flow. If you are inspired to add something watching a video with the client, jot it down. Say it after the video. Say it after the presentation. It's amazing how many times you will find that the presenter actually does get to that point before they finish anyway. Same old story, golden rule. I make it a habit to create spaces in the conversation for questions. Some call this taking a breath. I'm making a joke. But it's not funny when the presenter is so desperate to talk that the customer is unable to participate. I've attended too many product showcases and one-on-one presentations where the customer can't get a word in at all. The other extreme, of course, is when the customer hijacks the conversation to the point where no product information is being presented. So let's deal with these two customer-threatening scenarios. First, I can't be desperate to talk if I'm practicing the principle of listening to hear what the other person wants or needs. And here's a tip. It's a great gift not to have to carry an entire conversation. Listening is just wonderful. What do I do if a customer or a know-it-all in the group attempts to hijack or dominate my presentation? Number one, I don't panic. We teach people how to treat us. If you react, they will intensify. So make it a habit to pause. A good rule of thumb is listen to them for a bit, then acknowledge what you thought you've heard them say. Just as we described earlier, we clarify it down to a single point, and then we tell them that we will answer that by the end of the presentation. 9 times out of 10, they stop interjecting and they listen. In my experience, most people don't even remember what was so important because they have seen something or they've heard something that is of greater interest, but they feel acknowledged, they feel respected, so they treat you with respect. In the extreme example of someone with issues beyond common courtesy, you may choose to keep the presentation very short, and after you close, you want to go to that person of interest and ask if they have any questions, the person you set the meeting up for. Then you can arrange to meet somewhere else in private so they can really hear you. And again, we don't do negative. We would not discuss the noisemaker or acknowledge the problem. We take the higher ground, focusing on the needs of the customer. Now, all of this may sound like you need advanced speaking skills, but the flow is really the result of staying on principle. It's not a matter of memorizing comebacks and routines. It's about serving the customer's needs and not our personal goal or ambition. Remember the saying, if you don't know people, you don't know sales? Well, that's exactly the point. You have a spade of unique products in both the consumable and durable categories, and there is much to discuss. The question you must ask is, have I found a solution for this person? In other words, we are presenting to learn why this person or these people need these products. We must remember that precedent does not bind principle. It doesn't matter if you failed before. When you are on principle, you will often be amazed as things seemingly fall into place. You aren't manipulating the situation, so relax. You will attract better results if you are open to a variety of outcomes. My mentor says, fixed expectations are a down payment on disappointment. To summarize, being a product of being a product, we are on principle when we make it our habit to find solutions for our customers, which requires hearing what they need. When we make it our habit to establish intimacy, doing something special for them that no one else can do. When we make it our habit to be their NECAN agent, to get them a prompt delivery as soon as is possible, and to provide support that dignifies the price we charge. When we make it our habit to inspire them with products and ideas they haven't seen, like, is this new information available? We'll get it to them. Is there a parallel story? Make them aware of it. Is there a new technology or a catalog or a courtesy you can extend? Go ahead and do it. So let's go to the action steps. For this week, get yourself in front of some potential customers. Your mentor or sponsor may be able to join you on those calls if you're new or if you feel it will add value for the customer. The more you present, the more it will feel natural. This is a living demonstration of why you are doing what you do. It may be a home self-care party, a one-on-one demonstration, or a demonstration to a group that's interested in one or more of our technologies. But this week is the week for a live demo. And by the way, you don't have to stop at one. Job two, if you haven't finished that customer list, now's the time. Let's remind ourselves that we are not only seeking ideal business partners. We are selecting these names because they need or want a product. They are usually people that we've been reluctant to approach with the business. And we're also seeking to find a few customers to form an orbit of our five active customers, my five and I. Our commitment to them is that we will take that added time and effort to serve them, to hear them, to make our relationship with them personal. But we will act as their agent for self-care products. And relax, this is five people. Certainly you will have other retail-only and other auto-ship customers, but you don't have to be overwhelmed by the task. Here's a point. Just putting those names on paper will make that task seem more doable. Job three, continue to listen to lesson one five times each day. Four, read or listen to this lesson once each day for 7 days and write down something that has become clearer or that you didn't understand with the earlier listenings. Man, some of the things you guys are reading, just fantastic. I'm enjoying them. Thanks for doing that. Point five, email each week's summary to info@icanattitude.com. And regarding customer acquisition, you want five, so don't stop at one. Please remember, they need you. Here's the final thing. Memorize the fifth ICANN attitude concept. My ICANN attitude will help my clients see their current situation in life through the five pillars. Showing them what the future could look like will create the awareness they require to advance. Back to you, William.
Thank you, Marty. And just so I'm clear on your point, when you say back to you, do you mean back to me in the form of a question, or do you mean back to me in the form of a principle?
It's back to you to wind the call up because we've been going long lately.
Okay, just want to make sure I was clear on the point because I followed the entire lesson word by word. Thank you very much, Linda Morris, for your testimony. Thank you, Mr. DiMuccio and Mr. Tanis, for making yourselves available to those folks in Mexico. Mike, we appreciate your absence for going and being humans, being more down in Mexico. And remember that this training course
has not been reviewed or endorsed by NECAN, Inc. And if you're trying to fly, maybe it's time to let go of those things that are holding you down, as my good friend John Ashraf has mentioned to me on more than one occasion. Let go. Let God. We'll see you all next week, everybody. Another edition of I Can Too. Have a great week.